This is the 7:30 edition of the latest from Starcom Network News in the headlines. Students of St. John Primary begin classes at a temporary location today. Legislation to improve the lives of people living with disabilities to be in place by early next year. The government's NIS overhaul comes under intense fire at a DLP meeting. Venezuelan voters reject International Court of Justice's jurisdiction in the dispute with Guyana. And Israel's army in all areas of Gaza as new evacuations have been ordered. Good morning, I'm Carol Toppin. Details to the news just ahead. Parents and guardians of students attending the St. John Primary School are generally pleased with plans to relocate classes at the rural institution. This is according to President of the Parent Teachers Association at St. John's Primary, Nicole Gill Wilson. The Ministry of Education last week revealed that classes will be held at Messiah's House of Prayer, Wesleyan Holiness, in Messiah Street, St. John, from today until the end of the school term. This followed protests by teachers and students over environmental issues there. Ms. Gill Wilson says that during a meeting with the ministry on Saturday, parents raised minor concerns, which were addressed.
The main worry was about the transportation of the children, because most children who attend the school time to walk to school, and although Messiah Street is closed, there's no direct transportation from St. John to Messiah Street. But the ministry has agreed to provide shuttle services to and from the school and the church. So there's no worries in terms of transport. The other concern was whether or not the furniture was sanitized being transported, and we were given assurances by the ministry that sanitization will occur on the morning before school commences.
President of the Parent Teachers Association of St. John Primary School, Nicole Gill Wilson. Legislation that seeks to improve the lives of people living with disabilities should be in place by the first quarter of next year. This was revealed by Minister of People Empowerment and Elder Affairs, Kirk Humphrey, who was speaking during the unveiling of a monument to honor over 40 individuals for their contributions to the lives of people living with disabilities. The ceremony was held at the National Disabilities Unit in Lower Kalamarok yesterday, as the country recognized International Day of Persons with Disabilities.
We all would know we had set up and established an advisory committee that was basically responsible for giving us advice on how to set up a commission to improve the lives of persons with disabilities. That work is done. That work has also led now to the draft legislation, which is also done. We also informed the policy, which is also done, and that the cabinet approved the policy and the draft legislation. And that next year, hopefully by the end of the first quarter, but surely next year, we will be in a position to say that Barbados has legislation that improves the lives of persons with disabilities and protects their rights for the first time.
Mr. Humphrey again urged corporate Barbados to employ people living with disabilities.
We've had a number of people, when we had our consultations, who came forward and said that they felt they were discriminated against because there was no real basis not to employ persons. I've said to my permanent secretary that the Ministry of People Empowerment must lead the way, and thus far we've been able to employ a number of persons with disabilities. We've just engaged another two starting December 1st. And I call on corporate Barbados to be able to do the same. These are important things.
Minister of People Empowerment and Elder Affairs, Kirk Humphrey. Trade unionist Caswell Franklin has harshly criticized the way government has gone about the overhaul of the national insurance scheme. The NIS has been changed to a statutory corporation. Mr. Franklin, the General Secretary of the Unity Workers Union, was speaking at a branch meeting of the Democratic Labour Party St. George South Branch during a discussion on the effects of the transition to a republic. Mr. Franklin says he sees the need for an opposition presence in the House of Assembly to provide a counterbalance to what he claims is a government that does what it feels like.
Since there's no opposition in Parliament, they abuse Parliament like it is a plaything. They do what they like. That is why even if you don't win the government, you got to get some people in there to protect this country from. I want you to win, to get them out. But if you don't win, you've got to get some people in there to protect this country.
Meantime, DLP stalwart and veteran trade unionist Robert Bobby Morris also voiced concern about the NIS move, which he sees as part of government's privatization agenda.
I am going to be fairly sure that the movement that this government is taking towards privatization, the NS is now a statutory board. All it means is that sooner or later, that is going to be privatized. I'm telling you that. I believe the port is going to be privatized. It's just a matter of time. They're doing it in a way with the airport.
DLP stalwart and veteran trade unionist Robert Barbie Morris. The Barbados Alliance to End Homelessness wants to see a rehabilitation program implemented to assist people who are deported for committing crimes and find themselves living on the streets. This follows concern that an increasing number of deportees are becoming homeless. President of the Alliance, Kimar Safri, explains that while they try to help these individuals, he fears that without the right interventions, they can commit the same crimes.
These are persons that are coming back into Barbados, and when they left the airport, they have no fixed base on the boat. They don't have any ties to families, so they are left on the street at the very moment they land in Barbados. They're left on the streets, and if something has to be done, yes, they would say, "Oh, they're homeless," so then let's make them the Barbados less homelessness problem. Let's make them a welfare problem, but I don't think that that is it, because again, these are persons that have committed crime in the states, and oftentimes they haven't gone to prison for a long time. They haven't been rehabilitated either, so they can easily come to Barbados and commit the crime again.
He sees this as a matter that should be swiftly addressed.
There needs to be some sort of rehabilitation aspect that we have to look at. The organization have been doing it for the last 10 years, but with the growing numbers, it's still quite difficult for us, and there's some that we do have to turn down, because when we see their criminal records, it's ridiculous. We've had a guy once that we were asked to take, but his report of being a pedophile and being a criminal, his criminal background stemmed over 40 years. So that puts the organization at risk, and we didn't want to have to take that particular case. But then again, the person comes to Barbados and is homeless and could find himself continuing in that criminal element. So we really need to look at it.
President of the Barbados Alliance to End Homelessness, Kimar Safri. A local historian praises the monument to the Barbadian family that was recently unveiled at National Heroes Square. Speaking on VOB's Brass Tack Sunday, historian Claudette Levi Farnham said the monument reclaimed the space for Barbadians and the shaping of the country's history.
The importance of that family in showing that we are one, the concept of the Bajan family is an important one, coming out of the slave space and system that we were in from the beginning of our history. It was a very controversial and heavily contested space in the early years of our settlement. And so it's like we are kind of taking back that space and kind of giving us a wholeness and a healing out of all the things, the public beatings and stuff that used to happen in that space.
Historian Claudette Levi Farnham. Voters in Venezuela rejected the International Court of Justice, ICJ's jurisdiction over the country's territorial dispute with Guyana, and backed the creation of a new state in the potential oil-rich Essequibo region in a referendum on Sunday. The court this week barred Venezuela from taking any action which would change the status quo in the area, which is the subject of an active case before the ICJ, but President Nicolas Maduro's government went ahead with a 5-question consultative referendum. All questions passed with more than 95% approval, according to the Electoral Authority President Elvis Amoroso, who said that at least 10.5 million votes were cast for yes, but did not confirm the number of voters. And finally, the Israeli military says it's expanding its ground operation into all areas of the Gaza Strip following the resumption of fighting on Friday. It has this morning posted on social media a fresh order for people to evacuate about 20 areas of the Palestinian enclave. Its forces have been pushing further south amid warnings from humanitarian groups that Gazans are running out of places to flee. Recapping the headlines, students at St. John Primary begin classes at a temporary location today. Legislation to improve the lives of people living with disabilities to be in place early next year. Government's NIS overhaul comes under intense fire at a DLP meeting. Venezuelan voters reject the International Court of Justice jurisdiction in the dispute with Guyana and Israeli army in all areas of Gaza as new evacuations have been ordered. And that was the 7:30 edition of the latest from Starcom Network News. Starcom Network is a member of the OCM Group. And you can listen to the latest news or catch up on news stories at starcomnetwork.net. You may also WhatsApp Add Me to 246-2566-397 to receive breaking news. The next newscast is at 8:30. I'm Carol Toppin. Good morning.